Welcome to the C3 Calgary podcast. We are so grateful you have come to join us. We would love to invite you to one of our in-person services. To find out times, locations, and more about our church, visit our website at myc3church.ca or find us on Instagram. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, guys. Good morning. What a good morning. Thank you, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Britt. I would never want to miss an opportunity to say thank you to you guys for allowing me to be up here. Anytime we get to share the Word of God, it's a big responsibility and it's a blessing. And I love this church and I'm so thankful that we get to spend some time together. If you were here last week, then you would know we are in a series for March called The Life of Jesus, which is, of course, very fitting because we are moving towards Resurrection Sunday. So the life of Jesus, Pastor Stephen spoke about baptism last week, I believe. I wasn't here. Yep. Listen to it on our podcast. It's awesome. You can go back and take notes, and I plan to do the same. So he spoke about baptism, and I was out at West, and actually already had an opportunity to share the message that I'm going to bring today. But I feel very specifically this morning that God is very, like, uniquely looking at this space. And although I am giving this message twice, I know that it's not just a repeat. Like, it's for us. And there were things, you know, last week for people, thank God, nothing I can do about that. The Holy Spirit is the one that ministers to us. But I just felt very heavily in the last bit of that worship that God is just looking at some of us this morning. And when we come and we preach the word, we are prophesying what God is going to do in our life. And so, again, you know, we're all imperfect people, and I don't think that I'm going to always get what I say 100% right, but I just encourage us to just go into what I'm about to say, realizing, like, God is here. He's in this room. Our feelings about whether that's true or not actually don't change the fact that he is here, he is present, he wants to speak to us, he is for us, and he has a word for us. And even if it doesn't settle in today, just, like, let's go into this front-footed, believing God. Okay, you might speak to me tomorrow about what came out today. You might speak to me 30 minutes. You know, whatever it may be, I just want us to all, myself included, just posture our hearts to believe and declare in our spirit, God is talking to us. He is for us. He is with us. He is here right now. Amen? Amen. So the life of Jesus, when I was asked to speak about this, I was like, this is actually a very big topic. Like, the life of Jesus, what do you even really say about that, right? There's so many directions that one could go in. And something that the Lord put on my heart is Jesus who stayed in lonely places. I feel like there is, as Christians, a group of us that might actually be feeling like we're in a very lonely place. And God wants to show us where he is in that, and that Jesus relates to that very, very well. And so we'll unpack some of those scriptures and, of course, talk about the good news, because regardless of the struggle aspect of when we're preaching, you know, that we talk about, there's always good news on the other side of it. So that's what I want to talk about with us this morning. The main text that jumps out to me is in Mark 1, 40 to 45. This is the NIV, and it says, "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, 'See that you do not tell anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." So God, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you that you are in our presence and that you are speaking to us. We thank you that it is your desire to meet with us every opportunity that you can. In every moment of our day, I pray that you would just speak through me this morning, Lord God, and meet with your church here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I think it's a blessing of loving for the most part of my life, my work. I've always had jobs that I really enjoy, and I had one that I particularly loved for about 9 or 10 years in a bank, and it was just a very formative time in my life. I had years of just growing professionally and personally, and it was just something that I felt like so blessed to have and that I would probably never give up by choice. When I was entering into like around my ninth year of being there, I was up for like a really solid promotion, and things were just like trucking along in the way you want them to if you're kind of oriented that way. And I had an opportunity presented to me to move to Australia for a year, which would have meant, of course, quitting my job, because no one will let you go to Australia for a year and keep you employed. So it was funny because I was like, okay, God, I want to go. It's an opportunity to go. I was at C3 College in Oxford Falls in Sydney, and I was studying theology and leadership there. That was what I would be studying, and I was kind of like, do I do this? Do I leave behind like what is such a good job and what I think you've blessed me with and partly called me to go and do this? But the yes was there. I really felt like it was the Lord. And anyone that knew me at that time knows that like when I was going, I was so excited. There wasn't like a question about whether I was in the will of God. Sometimes you just know you're in the will of God, right? So it was like, I'm going. I'm so excited. So I moved to Australia, and this sounds like Captain Obvious statement because like, of course, I moved to the other side of the world alone, but I was really lonely. But I got there and I was like, I feel so lonely. And I thought then it was going to go away because then I started making friends and I started meeting people and I went to my classes and I had a job. And it was a really, really amazing opportunity. The end result and the fruit of it is like, I have nothing but good things to say about that experience in my life. But I felt like, God, I don't understand how you could call me to this place. I don't understand how I can be in your will. I'm in your will. I know this is of you. And I feel just like alone and in a group of people and with friends. And why am I alone? If we look at this scripture, why do I feel alone, right? Like, the truth is I wasn't, but that's how I really felt in this season of my life. And as Christians, we can be in the will of God, doing the things that he's called us to do, and actually still feel alone. It's kind of weird the way that works, doesn't it? In the NIV, the translation that I just read, it says, Jesus stayed in lonely places. If you look at other translations, it will use the word wilderness or desolate. And it's like the word lonely there means unfrequented and remote, a place deserted of people and in a state of bleak and dismal emptiness, an inhospitable region. Jesus stayed in lonely places. The scripture has brought so much comfort to me because, of course, I had to unpack that even after I moved home from Australia. Like, I need to go and ask the Lord, you know, what was that season in my life? And now I'm back and I don't know what I'm doing and, you know, what's going on. That scripture just really jumped out to me. And it reminded me, I don't know about you guys, but I have a hard time reconciling or recalling often that Jesus was fully human. We know Jesus as God, which is a miracle, which is amazing. And we give him praise every morning and we, you know, we're like always declaring his power and his miracles and his goodness as God, which we should always do. But I think sometimes when we forget that he was actually fully human, we lose the impact of like Jesus stayed in lonely places and he experienced that the exact same way we would. He understands our human circumstance. He doesn't just know us as we're going to be when we meet him in heaven. He knows us as we are right now in 2024 in this room, experiencing things that exist in a fallen world. He went through that. If we look at the life of Jesus from the very beginning, I can see how lonely his life would have been, his ministry. Think about the fact that he was born of a virgin. We know he was born of a virgin. We know that it was the Holy Spirit who brought him to Mary. But in that time, regardless of how, you know, maybe religious of a community he may have grown up in and people loved God and they feared God, like there, I'm sure, I know it does not say this in the Bible, but I'm sure there would be people that would be looking at Mary and Joseph and like, oh, really? Like, you are having a virgin birth? From the day he started to grow up, like, that was the thing that, like, town people would have been talking about, right? That Jesus, oh, there's Jesus. Like, you know, imagine that just being the start of your walk as a younger person. What would it have been like, right? When Jesus was younger, his family was in Jerusalem for the Passover. And some of you might know this story, but they were there, and then his family left, and Jesus did not go with him. He stayed behind in the temple to listen to the teaching. And of course, then his family lost him, and they didn't know where he was. And the story goes on that, of course, they found him. And it says that the scriptures say his parents came to him, you know, where were you? And he says, why were you searching for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Have you ever felt that way? Just so misunderstood? People just don't understand what your situation is? Maybe, maybe you're the only Christian in your workplace. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Maybe your gifting makes you misunderstood. Maybe God has put something very unique and very specific in your life that, again, like I knew when I went to Australia, it was in the will of God, and you could be too, but it causes misunderstanding in your life, and it makes you feel alone. Maybe some people are newly married, and maybe suddenly you're like, I don't understand this season that I'm in. I love it. I've asked God for this. This is his will, but suddenly I just don't relate to the world around me the way I did before, and I just feel alone, but I'm not alone. I have this spouse. You know, maybe you welcomed your first, second, third child into your family, and the beautiful gift that you asked God for, which is a family, also makes you feel like you were just in a wilderness and you're alone and you're just going, God, like this, how do I reconcile this? I have what I want from you, which isn't, I know the point, but you know, we're in the will of God. Even as Christians, we can still feel alone and like we are in a lonely place. Jesus stayed in lonely places. He understands what we're going through. And because it's just difficult for me to understand that Jesus was a human, I think sometimes I just don't take my prayers to him the same way that I could, because I'm just like, God, you know, just do what you do. But I don't talk to him the way I would, you know, Sam or Anya, you know, just telling them about like my real human condition. We can go to Jesus and be like, this is how I feel. Even if we feel like we shouldn't feel that way, you know, we can talk to him face to face the same way we would any other friend in this room. It's so beautiful that he understands us, but then also as a human and then also as God. It's such a beautiful thing. At the beginning of Mark chapter 1, that's the scripture that we're in, and it's not on the screen, so don't worry, June. But at the beginning of Mark chapter 1, Jesus was baptized by John, and he immediately was sent out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This isn't on my notes, but this is something I was really thinking about the last couple of days, and I think it's maybe for some of us, myself included in this room. Being lonely is not a sin at all, not even close. But I just feel really strongly that we need to, the same way we bring sin into the light, when you're struggling with anything, if it's including loneliness or feeling like you're in a desolate wilderness place, bring it to the light right away. Because Jesus went out into the wilderness, and that's where the devil found him to tempt him. When we are alone and when nobody knows and we feel like we are just isolated, that is where the devil will come in to bring temptation. That is where he will come in to try. He will do anything he can. He's the master manipulator, right? So if he can get you on your own and then start getting you to think weird things, questioning, you know, who you are in your community, in your family, whatever it may be, I just want to encourage all of us here this morning, it is not shameful to feel alone. It's so common. I think all of us, if we were being really honest, we could say like this week, probably there's a time when we just felt like, I am alone. Jesus stayed in lonely places. He is there with us. He wants to show us where he is in those lonely places, but just bring that to the light. Tell somebody that you're struggling. If you don't have somebody that you feel like you can reach out to, this is why you're here. This community, talk to our pastors, talk to myself, talk to any of our leaders here. Just get somebody to come around you to be like, hey, I'm lonely and I feel like I'm in this season I can't get out of. Whatever it is, I just bring it to the light. when something is out of the darkness, it has no power over us. So I just want to encourage us in that. It's a little bit of a side note, but I just feel like when we don't immediately bring things that could be a stumbling block into our lives, that is where things start to get messy. And you look back and you go, why did that happen? Why did the root is thinking that we should just deal with whatever we are dealing with by ourselves. So tell a friend. Tell a friend. Everywhere that Jesus went, I feel he could have had an opportunity to be misunderstood. Even his closest friends and family did not always get what he was doing. If we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was very quickly approaching his crucifixion, and again, many of you might know this story, but he was going out to pray and he was, you know, talking to God about the fact that he was going to lay down his life for us. And again, he was a human. So he was experiencing a very painful time. And he goes and prays. And again, those that know the story know that his friends fell asleep. He said, sit here while I pray. He took Peter and James and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I mean, talk about a lonely place. We can't even wrap my head around this, but it's like the most painful moment, one of the most painful moments of his life, right? And his friends just fall asleep. Some of us in this room actually have probably been there where you're like, yeah, I was in my moment like that. And my friend, like no one was there. Jesus was there. He was there. But you can relate to what I'm saying, right? You're like, yeah, I've just been all alone. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. I love that word acquainted in this verse because when you are acquainted with somebody or something, you know it, but you're not friends with it. It's not close to you. It's an experience that we might have, but we don't have to be friends with grief. We don't have to make it like a part of our everyday life. We don't have to sit with it and know it so, so well. We can be acquainted, but the good news, always the good news, is that Jesus died for us, that Jesus is going to move us forward from this. And that's the best part of being up here this morning is, you know, we get the background and we talk about how Jesus relates to us, but then the good news, Jesus, he's the good news. Amen. He's so good. I highlighted Mark 1:45 that Jesus stayed in lonely places. First and foremost, because of course, what I've already said, he understands us uniquely in our human perspective. His whole ministry, he had to deal with the fact that people would not understand him, that he knew the story that was going to happen to him as well. He knew what he was marching towards, but he did it anyway. He served the Lord anyway. He, you know, was obedient to his Father, despite the fact that he had to walk in lonely places. We don't always know why God puts us in certain situations, and there's not a moment that I would ever say, you know, like God made us lonely, or God put, you know, we just live in a fallen world. So sometimes we're in circumstances that just are, sometimes it's a mystery, right? It's not like every single thing that happens to us, we're like, well, that must be a attack or this, you know, we just live in a fallen world and sometimes we're alone. So I love that God can use those experiences and teach us something out of it, but he's not the one that's putting us there, right? The thing that I found for me when I decided to press in and ask God, okay, God, I don't understand why I felt so lonely when I was in Australia. I don't understand why I had an experience where I was in your will and yet I just didn't feel like you were around, like you were even there, is that I got the opportunity to meet God in a brand new way and I got to learn a new name of God that like, we've talked about this, I think, recently here in C3, but it's really easy to love God and to praise God and declare his goodness when, like, things are going good. When your bills are paid, praise God. When your relationships are awesome, praise God. When you have a community around you that you're growing in, that you're thriving in, praise God. And I will say, praise God. There's never a time that we shouldn't praise God. So when we're on the mountain, when we're in the valley, we should praise God. And it's so important to always give him thanks, but it's a lot easier, isn't it? To just declare his goodness and his faithfulness and tell everybody about the sun that's shining outside. And, you know, God's so good when we are on the mountain. But there's something so beautiful about meeting God in the valley, because you suddenly get this new name, you know him in this new way, and now you just can't be shaken, because you're like, well, yeah, I'm going through this lonely place, I'm in this wilderness, I feel like things are just desolate, but, like, God's there. The name of God that I love and has just carried me through so much since my time in Australia, but just in my life in general, is Jehovah Shammah. It's a name of God that means the Lord is there, the Lord is present. This name of God conveys the nearness of our Lord no matter where we are. He will always be with us, and it encourages us to seek him in a time of need. Amen. So like I said, amen. When we are in those, like, difficult seasons, when we are just going, oh, God, I just don't know where you are, the Lord is near. He's right here. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. And we can declare to our circumstances in a new way, the Lord is near. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The Lord's near, so he's got it. Yes, I don't know how I'm going to overcome this situation. The Lord is near, so I don't have to worry. You get to partner with him knowing, like, the Lord is near. He is right here. He is close. He is with us. He is for us. If you're anything like me, and those of you that do know me know that I want you to tell me practical ways to do things. So, you know, I love listening to people declare the goodness of God and the preaching, and I'm like, yes, that's so true, but I'm like, how do I practically walk this out? Like, what do I do next after I've heard everything that you just said? And there's kind of three things. This is three things I hope are helpful to us. These are three things that work for me. They might not work for you. You might want to come up with your own iteration of it. But they're just three things that I feel have really helped me stay in a place of nearness to God, where I understand he is near to me in my life. Because I have every opportunity every day to be very lonely, because I live on my own. I've lived on my own since I was 17. I'm very independent, and I always am like, I can do everything by myself. So, you know, we have to keep sharp. We have to keep on top of things, because suddenly, you know, we slip into things, weird things. But three things for me that have just really worked really well. The first thing is, of course, declaring God's goodness. And I said it a little bit earlier in prayer. Sometimes we don't feel like God's good. If we're honest, it's actually, you're like, yeah, of course, declare God's goodness. I can't even really feel compelled to open my Bible and declare his goodness. Like, that's actually okay. Like, let's just be honest with where we've been at. I have been there. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? If we can just find one verse, one thing, one promise of God to hold on to declare, it will change things. So don't worry about how you feel. Don't worry about how, you know, how it looks, but just do it. It's not a fake it till you make it, but it's kind of a fake it till you make it, right? Because again, our feelings, God cares about our feelings very much, but our feelings do not change who God is. So we have to declare who he is and his promises over our life, regardless of what we're feeling in the moment. Psalm 34 says, I will always praise the Lord. Always. So in the lonely place where Jesus stayed and he is with us, in the mountain, in the valley, I will always praise the Lord. It says, with all my heart, I will praise the Lord. Let all who are helpless listen and be glad. Honor the Lord with me. Celebrate his great name. We are always called to praise the Lord. And he knows that there are times when we are helpless, but he tells us to praise him anyway. So just find one verse, like one promise that you can hold on to, one thing that you know, okay, I can declare this every morning or every moment. You know, you can commit it to memory, whatever it may be. We say this all the time because it's true. The word of God is God. This is God. He is with us in the word. We cannot undervalue and underestimate the power of the word, and we need it in our lives as believers. We cannot get by without it. We might have been able to up until now, and maybe you could for a little bit longer, but in the end, we can't. We have to know the word of God, and we have to know it for ourselves. You can't go off what I'm telling you. We can't just say, oh, Pastor Stephen said it. We need to love and value and be deep in the word, because it is power and it is truth, and the truth needs to be talked about all the time. So you're thinking, oh, someone's already said this. I already know I'm supposed to read the Bible. Well, we'll say it again because it's true. And there's power in truth, and there's power in repeating the truth. So find a verse that speaks to you and just declare it regardless of whether you feel it or not, right? The next thing that I find incredibly helpful in a practical way is counting the goodness of God. We had, Pastor Stephen said, we have an all-in coming up, which is going to be so good. All-in is such an incredible opportunity to gather together and to celebrate our team, celebrate what God's doing. There's always training, equipping, different things. But we had one out at the West location a couple weeks ago. And Pastor Joanne, for those of you that know her, was sharing some beautiful stats about what's happened across C3 Central and C3 West over the last year. And one of the things that she said is that sometimes people will say to her, you know, well, why do you count? Like, we're talking about how many volunteers we've had, how many kids have come through the ministry, how much money we've raised for our orphanage, the David Center, all these things. Why do you count? Because when you are in, again, that lonely season, that desolate season in a wilderness, when we count what God has done, when we bring to remembrance and we're able to pull that up and say, oh, today feels rough, but look what God did. It stirs up our faith. The book of Joshua talks about stones of remembrance. We should always, always record and remember and count the goodness and the faithfulness of our God, because it's always there. I love, love, love spending my morning. Everyone that knows me knows this. I talk about it way too much. I love like journaling about my gratitude. It's, again, there's going to be times you're like, Caitlin, I do not want to write down what I'm thankful for. I have nothing to be thankful for. Just start by writing like, I have breath in my lungs. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If that is the only thing you can write on your paper every day, praise God and count that as a blessing. Praise God and count that. I woke up today, Jesus, and I have no idea what's going to happen after this, but I praise you for the breath in my lungs. I praise you for the breath in my lungs. Let's get, you know, really good as a community at declaring God's goodness, at counting the things that he has done. When you get to look back, it's so cool to go and look back, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 years ago, whatever, and say, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Look at that. Or even just to count our prayers and remember, Jesus, like, I was praying about that and you answered it here. Like, it's such a powerful thing to be able to record the things God is doing in our lives and go back and look at it. And when we're in a lonely place, suddenly we have a tool to come around and pick up and go, okay, Jesus, right now I feel alone. Right now I feel like I'm in this season that I don't understand. But like, look what all of you've done. You took me from here to there. You'll do it again. Because he's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is always good. He is always willing to journey with us on whatever it is we're going through. So count the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life. And if you don't really know how, I will help you. Just come and talk to me. I love gratitude journaling, so I'll help you with it. The last thing that I want to mention when it comes to dealing with lonely seasons in our life, and this is not remotely a plug to try and just get you to join a team, it's to say, get all in with the community that you were a part of in church. If this is not your home church, go all in at the church that God has placed you. And it's not to tick off a box to be like, I served on hosting. Although that will it will change your life. When you say, God, I am all in the community that I am a part of, use me in whatever way you want me to. I could do a sermon on being in community for like 4 hours. I am so passionate about it. You guys, I can't tell you, but like, it's funny, but it's just, your whole life will change. God is so good. And he just wants us to be together serving him. He's so kind. And the thing is, when you're alone and you have a community, you're not alone anymore. And there's someone that you can come to, somebody that can come around you and be like, listen, we are going to fight this battle with you. And I know it's hard and it's sometimes quite scary. You're like, I don't really know if I click with those people. I don't know like what they're going to ask me. I don't know what my comfort level is. Trust God. He's with you. He is the God who is near. Jehovah Shammah, he's with you. He's entering in with you. He's joining that team with you. And we're like a fun bunch here. We're not that serious. We're not going to ask anybody that's like in the community to do something they don't want to do or something. It's not that big of a commitment in the sense that we're not going to try and take away all your time, but we are going to try and make you feel like this is the best community you've ever been a part of, and God is with you and for you, and now you suddenly have, you know, friends and people that you just get to do life with. But go all in. Don't kind of do it. Just go all in and then watch God do what he does. He's so faithful and he's so kind to meet us where we ought. He knows what kind of a community that we need. He knows the type of people that we need around us. And it's like I said, if you just feel like, I don't know. I just don't know anybody. Just come and talk to just one of us. Just one of us. We'll connect you to the right groups and the right people. But we'll pray with you and we'll have fun with you and we'll, you know, just be a part of your life. God did not call us to do anything alone. Jesus had his people, right? Jesus had his community. And he wants that for all of us. It's such a practical and beautiful way to just move beyond these lonely places. Just as I start to wrap things up here, I'm going to pray at the end just for people who feel like they're in a lonely place or a desolate place. You might feel like you're in a wilderness and you just don't know how to get out of it. We'll pray for that. But I just want to give us two scriptures that I hope will just encourage us and remind us of God's faithfulness and his goodness and how he cares for us. Hebrews 12, 2-3 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had a joy set before him. We have joy set before us. This place that we're in, this space, this lonely season that you could find yourself in, there's something beyond it. There's something beyond it. You don't have to stick here. And if you're somebody who is beyond that space, you might be, maybe you're in a position like me where I feel so blessed God has moved me out of struggling with feeling lonely, then let's be those people that are encouraging and looking for people who are struggling with loneliness. Let's be the people that are saying, hey, God has, my testimony is that God has moved me from here to there and he's going to do it for you too. And I see you. And like, you know, let's be looking for people that we can help in these seasons, because everyone goes through it. Everyone goes through it. And, you know, we might go through it on and off, whatever it may look like, but let's look for those people. And the last scripture is another one that many of us might know, and it's in Psalm 68. And sorry, I didn't have my notes, but it came up this morning. I have the tiniest Bible with the smallest printing, so I don't know why I didn't write it. Hang on. You should look at this Bible. It's so tiny. Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Let's stand. I just want to pray and give us an opportunity just to be in his presence. Let him minister us. Let him talk to us. If you need prayer for anything that came up this morning or anything at all, we always have a team up here to meet with you and to encourage you. But I just want to thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for your goodness. I want to thank you that you give us an opportunity every single week to come and spend time with you and to praise you and to be with you. But we just thank you that it's your nature to run towards us and to love us and to be with us. We thank you that you're a God who is close. We thank you that you're a God who is near to us. And Jesus, in this place this morning, there's people that might be going through seasons of loneliness, as Christians even, people that might not know you, Lord God, that are just feeling very, very far off and very removed from you, God, and also just any sense of community. I just want to thank you, Jesus, that you see them, that you're genuinely looking at us right now, God. with a heart full of love, with a heart full of compassion, God, and you want to move us from the lonely places that you yourself have stayed in, God. You want to move us out of those wilderness seasons, and you also want to bring us revelation and wisdom about, you know, what could be learned about who you are in those lonely places, Lord God. So I just pray for anyone here this morning, Lord God, that is struggling with feeling misunderstood or alone, Lord God. I pray, Jesus, that you would just remove any intense feelings of just being alone, Lord God, and replace them with peace. You are the Prince of Peace. Just flood us, God, with your love, with your peace, with an understanding of who you are, and help us to take that next step, Lord God. Whatever it may look like as an individual who's listening, Lord God, help them to understand what the next step is to reach out to you and to reach out to their community, to move from that space of loneliness, Lord God. And I ask that you just help every one of us that's a part of this community, Lord God, help us to see the people who are in lonely places. You have empowered us and commissioned us and equipped us to be your hands and your feet in this city and in this community, Lord God. So help us to have eyes to see the people that need to know you in a unique way in this season, Lord God. Because we want to do your will and we want to build your kingdom and we want to love your people, Lord God. We really genuinely want to love your people, Jesus. And there's nothing too small. There's nothing too big that you care about, Lord God. So we just want to help you love your people in any way that we can, Jesus. So I thank you so much for C3 Central. I thank you for this community, Jesus. I thank you that you are with us and that you are for us. We pray, God, that we would just leave this place this morning with a sense of peace and empowerment that we have a God who is near to us and a God who is with us. And we thank you for all of the things that you're doing across our church, C3, across the churches that in Calgary, Lord God. And we believe that there's a beautiful week ahead of just moving from lonely places. And we pray this in your name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, of course, guys, come on up. But otherwise, please stick around, have a coffee, connect, and we look forward to seeing you again here next Sunday. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube. If this message resonated with you and you would like to give to our church, go to myc3church.ca. See you next week!